tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mic. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere.
They really are.
That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Oh, it will be, my friends. Welcome to another fun, festive episode of Tinfoil Hat. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. Join me as always, XG in the place to be, Xavier Guerrero.
There you go. It's coming in now.
Dude, I am going to get every name right for the rest of time.
After the last one?
2 minutes from now. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. We have so much amazing things going on. We love you guys so much. All your support. All you guys are amazing. All the ladies are smoke shows. It's a wonderful time to be alive. It really is, man. And it's only getting better. Guess what? Next week, we're coming to Sacramento. Boo, 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 boo. That's right. We got lizard fever, and the only prescription is more conspiracy cowbell. And we're going to get that cowbell at Harlow's, guys. So go to Harlow's, grab your tickets. We're going to be going hard in the paint. Myself, XG, Eddie Bravo, Tiger will be joining us, and we will be rocking, dude. Come get weird. Grab those tickets now. Okay, then the following week, we are at Indianapolis. We're doing a special show at the Heliums. Look at that flyer. That's a fucking beauty. Look at that thing.
Indy 500.
Yeah, the things we can do with the internet now. It's truly amazing. Yeah, we went a little speed racer, Indy 500 on you right there. We're going to be doing that at Heliums. I believe that's the 10 o'clock show. And then the following day, we are in St. Louis. Again, Eddie Bravo, myself, XG, our good friend Jeffrey Wilson from the Conspiracy Farm, Pat Miletich, hopefully will come by and say hi and choke us all out. I love when you can hang out with Freemasons who know jujitsu. I love that stuff. That's Harlow's.
Yeah, but that one's a 7:30 show, though.
Oh, that's a 7:30 show.
The Harlow's is a 7:30 show. It's early. So
St. Louis is a 4:20 show. Holla at your boy. I don't even know if it's legal. So that's a 4:20 show.
Not over there.
And then the sit at 6. Nah, I was going to do a 69 for cocaine, but didn't make sense. So go to Heliums, grab it's St. Louis is on the 10th, Indianapolis on the 9th, and then after that we're at Bakersfield, or we might not be, we don't know. We're going to Brooklyn Barbecue, playing a barbecue rib joint next year. Next week I'll be at the McDonald's playground. Who knows where else I'll be going to gig. You know, they call me. I go win, dude. I'm like Rambo. Where you send me? War zone? I'll get the ha-ha, okay? And I just go red line, okay? So come do that. That's at that's not up yet, but it's at the Brooklyn Barbecue.
The Brooklyn Barbecue.
And then hopefully we'll be at Cobb's on the 13th. That deal's getting set. That was the first big show we did. We rocked out. We were talking about, I think this tour's about a little over a year old.
It's a little bit over a year.
Yeah, dude. So we're going back to Cali. So we're very excited about that. And we're going to be meeting with our good friends at abx.org. Go to abx.org. That's Absolute Extract. And you guys, they will hook you up. Holla at your boy.
All right, they got everything on there.
Yeah, they got, dude. I mean, they are going hard in the paint. Where are we here?
Vape, beer.
Yeah, weed, you name
lotion.
It.
Lotion.
Take care of you. For the ladies, a little JJ CBD. I know they got anal bleaching CBD. They got everything for you. These guys are thinking out of the box. These are scientists that are going deeper for you. They care. They care more.
Oh, and then they got stuff that doesn't get you high. That CBD shit.
Well, we don't believe in that stuff. That's not for us. That's not for you. That's
for the grandmas.
Yeah, it's for the grandmas, dog. Hold on. There's a code here, of course. My girlfriend decided to send me 18 different... Oh, here it is. Guys, this is what we're doing here. We got a new promo code, and let's see if the promo code is even on there. Where's the promo code? You guys have any promo codes? Okay. So here's it is. If you guys want a little discount, a little 20% off your order from ABX, this just came in. Use the promo code all caps CHAOS, CHAOS, on Easy. That's EAZE.com and get 20% off all your ABX orders. Only for you tin hat people. You people hunting for lizard people, all right? Looking for multiple dimensions. Knowing Bigfoot doesn't live in this dimension or that dimension. He's just hopscotching wherever the chicks give it up, okay? That's what we're doing. Again, use CHAOS. Go to EAZE.com. Use the promo code CHAOS. Bam! That
good shit.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, man. I'm super stoked. I am super stoked. We got a fucking great guest here. This guy's a young Christian warrior. He's out here fighting the fight, doing the Lord's work, okay? Doing the Lord's work. Okay. He's got a great YouTube channel called Joy Camp, okay? I love it a lot. Please welcome Benny Willis.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure.
Bam! I got it, dude. Thank you so much for coming on, dude. I love your YouTube channel. It is wonderfully, wonderfully done. It is so good. Go check it out. It is called Joy Camp. He's putting stuff up there all the time. Right now, can we give your location out?
Sure. Yeah, I'm in Las Vegas currently.
What are you doing in Las Vegas? What are you doing in Las Vegas?
I was just the master of ceremonies for the first ever Anarcho Vegas, an anarchist convention here in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's awesome. Is that the same thing as that Anarcho Popo, whatever that one big festival is?
Anarchapulco.
Yeah.
Are they associated together?
Anarchapulco. Well, I think Anarchapulco is what started it, but it's not really... I mean, it's not like the same... I don't know how to say it. Yeah, it's inspired by Anarchapulco. Let's put it that way.
What are the chicks like at an anarchist convention?
What'd you say?
What are the chicks like at an anarchist convention?
They're cool. I mean, everybody's pretty cool who comes to these. There's definitely more guys than women, but the women that come are cool.
Are they hot? The ones that do come?
There are some hot ones, yeah.
All right, because that's what we get when we go to the conspiracy shows. Pure hot,
yeah, our,
hot
our
females.
Listeners are smoke shows.
Yeah, they're good. They're some good looking people.
All right.
So, like, what is the ratio of tattoos to nose piercings at an anarchy convention? Like, who's your typical anarchist at one of these conventions?
You know, that's something I like about these anarchy conventions is that it shows that there is no stereotype. They're all over the spectrum. I mean, it's all ages, both sexes, all sexualities. I mean, there's just a common connection that of people who are over government. So there's it's everybody. There really is no stereotype.
Are you an anarchist?
You know, I guess so. Yeah. Because I identify with the
this
principle,
is interesting.
But I have a hard time with labels. So you I don't really don't like identifying labels. As any label, but I think by the definition of anarchist, I would be an anarchist.
What is the definition of anarchist?
Well, it's self-ownership. It's self-governance. You are your own government. You have autonomy over your own body, and you identify with the non-aggression principle and self-defense, peaceful parenting, stuff like that.
Wow. So when did you become an anarchist? Like, were you a young anarchist? Were you just a young Christian warrior way back in the day, seventh grade, just saying, hey, let's just burn down the library?
I've never considered myself a Christian warrior. That's an interesting term. I've been, I don't call myself an anarchist, but I do identify with the principles. I first went to the Anarchapulco conference in 2015, the first time they had it, and I was a speaker there. So I guess it's since then that I've considered myself to be of that community.
I love it, dude. We're going to try to make it out for the next one out there. I'd love to do it.
Oh, cool. I'm actually going to be the MC for that one, too.
Look you. Ooh, doing you got this shit on lockdown, dog. Well. You are the best looking anarchist I've ever seen in my life. When I think anarchist, I think like Fat Mike with a mohawk gut and in a, like a dress and moon boots. That's what I think. But nah, dude, they're stunningly good looking. They look like they could work at at a nice little model store, you know, like Abercrombie and Fitch. Now, listen, I watched some of your videos. I love the one about San Francisco. Did you ever live in San Francisco, or were you just where you decided to do some videos out?
I did live there. Yeah, I went to college in San Francisco.
And dude, that is a crazy, like, dude, what do you got to have? Like, you got to make 100G just to be homeless in San Francisco now, right?
Oh yeah. It's out of control, man. Yeah. It's definitely not for the average person anymore.
Even above average person. I mean, you got to be insanely rich right now. And even into Oakland's gotten pretty bad, I hear, too. But, you know, we did Cobbs. We're supposed to be going back there in September. But we'd walk around, man, and there's so much insane symbolism all over. Yeah. Like some straight-up Freemason, the Rothschilds, the occult. What were some of that stood out to you? Because I saw you did a video on it. It was really well done.
Oh, thanks. Well, the Bohemian Grove or the Bohemian Club headquarters is there in San Francisco, which we stumbled upon when we were walking around. Then we ended up using it in the video. But yeah, it's everywhere.
What do you mean it's a
club?
It's a very
Masonic city.
There's just like Moloch is just hanging out there valeting or some shit. Like, how did you know?
Well, at this one corner where the Bohemian Club is, every corner there's an owl. There's like an owl bar, and there's an owl mural over here. So it's like all four corners of this intersection are like being spied on by owls.
Oh my God. The Rothschild banks are there. I mean, like and just think this is the epicenter of like, you know, there
Facebook,
and a little
Google.
Far out. But yeah, it's the epicenter of tech. Tech is very, I mean, have you ever looked into the symbolism of tech? Like, how all their like logos are all Freemason symbols. I have some right here.
Not only that, but the parts like microchips inside of tech look like satanic sigils.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
You ever seen those diagrams? They line up like the insides of computers to sigils and how they mirror each other almost exactly.
Really?
That's
wow.
Dude, dark arts, bro.
You go that deep.
People do go that deep. San
there are theories. Yeah, there's theories that that's like all the tech is what's summoning Satan. It's all the tech.
You did a really great video on gay pride in San Francisco and how corporate it is now. It's just ridiculous right now. It's like gay pride has gone the way of everything artistic, where it's always started by outlaws, right? Outlaws who just, this is all they're good at. You know, whether it's Chuck Liddell MMA, Richard Pryor stand-up, Harvey Milk, you know, super gay shit, glory hole stuff, you know, whatever that is, right? It always starts by the outlaws, and then slowly the bean counters come in, and then it becomes a super corporate thing that kind of pushes out everything that made this thing so great. What were some of the things you noticed at the Gay Pride Parade?
Just how corporatized it is. I mean, as everyone knows now, like in the month of June, every single major corporation put a rainbow filter over their logo. I mean, this is where we're at. I mean, what's the end game here? Like, I feel like the gay rights have been achieved. So where do we go from here? What are they trying to achieve at this point with this movement? Gay Pride Year? I mean, it's so aggressive. I feel like, and if you have any sort of critical assessment of it whatsoever, you're automatically labeled homophobic or transphobic or a bigot or white supremacist or any of this other nonsense just because you have a slight criticism of it. I mean, that poem that I wrote about it, I've had some backlash even from my own family members as a result, even though I don't say anything about gay people. It's about the event itself. So it's gotten out of control.
My mom hates my show. my mom brings FBI to my comedy shows just to fuck with me. You know, that's how my mom goes. No, dude, it's just really is the truth. Now, when we talk, I mean, I don't know if you consider yourself a conspiracy theorist. Our last guest didn't, even though he just talked about conspiracies. But, you know, your videos make me think you are, for lack of a better term, a conspiracy theorist. You know, and when we take a look at the media and how they've tried to demonize conspiracy theorists, and then you hear within the conspiracy theory about how the media and Hollywood is trying to make white men racist. So, you know, I am somebody who goes, you know, there's no trans agenda in terms of, just hear me out, and everybody just heads exploded listening to this. There is a trans agenda, but it's not by trans people. It is by these, and they did a study on it, that the people, like these really rich old white guys who own all of the hormone therapy stuff are the ones who are pushing this shit to get the kids into hormone therapy early to get them hooked onto it. So once again, shit, you have this super high up, and that's why when I tell people, I'm like, there's layers to this shit. There's levels to this shit. If you, the first person you see isn't the person doing it. They're probably just a victim and a manipulator. They're being manipulated by these very high up, the people who own the media, who own the hormone therapy, who are telling everybody that, you know, everything's got to be gay. When you see kids programming and you see a super flamboyant gay character in there, and you're like, man, this is a kid's programming. Somebody told them to put that character in there. These are done on purpose to either get an agenda across, not by the people who you think are the ones who do an agenda, but the actual, the hires up to get us all to yell at each other. So people are like, they're turning the kids gay and stuff like that. It's the same motherfuckers. It's these lizard people, you know? So when you quit, you're like, dude, the more you're in, the more you get made fun of. This notion that if you are equal, nobody makes fun of you is the farthest thing from the truth. Who's more in than Donald Trump? Who's more in than Kanye West? Who's more in than LeBron James? Who's more in than any of these people that just get pinata'd by us for being idiots? The more you get made fun of. If you actually don't think you should make fun of somebody, you actually are saying you feel bad for them and they are not adult enough to get made fun of. So it's ridiculous that people would sit there and tell you that you can't criticize the gay community. They're people. They do funny stuff. The notion I can't make fun of black people is ridiculous. Have you seen World Star Hip Hop? I've seen crackheads smoke crack, jump off of fucking buildings, and run the 40. It's unbelievable.
Well, how about the new one? Those crackheads are blowing tweak into each other's assholes.
Yeah, and one's a white guy, one's a black guy, and that is fucking harmony, okay? Coming together over crack cocaine. Your thoughts as I just yelled at you for 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's obviously an agenda. I mean, there's no doubt about it in my mind. Even these words, I mean, I've been saying lately, the word transphobic is a nonsense word. Doesn't mean anything. Who has a phobia of trans people? Who has a phobia of gay people? Nobody's afraid of gay people. So this term homophobic, transphobic, these are made up words that they use to try to demonize people who have some sort of objective criticism of the movement. I mean, one of the things I noticed in that, when we were filming that symbolism video in San Francisco, and again, this has nothing to do about gay people. One of my best friends is gay. It's nothing to do with that. So when we were walking around the Castro District.
I love gay guys so much, I bang gay guys. That's how much I love gay people.
So there's a tag. Thurman was tagging everywhere in the Castro District, do what thou wilt, which is Aleister Crowley.
Satan.
Do what thou wilt. And they're putting a peace sign in the O of do. Do what thou wilt. Do what thou wilt. So that to me is indicative of what the movement represents. It's hedonism. It's a celebration of chaos and sex magic. I mean, whatever you do sexually is your thing and it's private, but it's thrust in our face. I mean, no pun intended, but it's in our faces all the time. And for what? I mean, I don't want to know about anybody's sex life, really. I don't want to know about my heterosexual friend's sex life. I don't need that to be paraded down the street. What I also don't like is that they equate being gay now with being a good person, as if it's some sort of identifying trait that, like, it's an accomplishment. Like, I'm gay, I'm queer, good for you. Well, honestly, if you're not contributing something valuable to society, then it doesn't matter what you prefer sexually. It's about what you do. And this is a blurred line now, that sexuality, being gay or being queer is somehow means you're a good person and you're contributing in a positive way. It's ridiculous.
You know, the when we talk transphobia or whatever the term is, what we're really talking about is people's feelings about men who want to live their life as women. We always see women live their life as men. There are PE teachers. There are, there are in high school, we had two librarians who were lesbians, and everybody thought they had wooden tits. And I don't know why, but we all believed it. And we just said, oh, wow, these lesbians got wooden tits. So we don't really care about women UPS drivers, tattoo. They can walk freely. But, you know, there used to be, my only fans were lesbians. They would just come to my shows and there would just be tables of lesbians. And they were wonderful. Laugh. What really scares people are, for some reason, is men who want to live their life as women. And I think it's because guys are afraid the blowjob's going to feel so good. And women think there's this weird kind of fucking, this fucking weird kind of competition thing. And that's it. I know tons of trans people, and people get crazy when they don't want to corrupt the youth. They literally just want to live their lives. And I see the trans lifestyle no different than the guy who wants a Bible and a gun and wear a Confederate flag. It's like, don't tread on me. You do you, I do me. Mm-hmm. When you fuck with kids and you get sexualized kids, that's when we all have problems. And that's where we get into. And this, you know, Desmond the Amazing and this bullshit psyop that's going on right now. That this,
well, normalizing pedophilia.
Yeah, it's that. Fucking gross, man. And it's rude. And listen, dude, I was that kid's age. I was super fucking young. And listen, I was super sexual as a kid. I mean, it's been kind of a big problem in my life, but I was super sexual. I was eating ass in 85. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was a Rosa Parks of that stuff, man. But I was a super like, I would never have been able to be like, dude, I just want to look fabulous and have makeup tips. And it's like that mind can't comprehend that shit at that age. Someone's telling him to do that stuff. And
yeah,
it's like,
it's, go ahead.
And it's just, for me, it's like hormone therapy is just ridiculous for children. It's just ridiculous. At 18, light yourself up like a Christmas tree for all I give a shit. It's, you're an adult. But as a kid, you're growing, dude. It's like there used to be a time where people found out that high school kids were taking steroids and people's heads explode. They were so upset. They were like, you can't give kids steroids in high school. It's going to fuck with their bodies. Now all of a sudden they're like, yeah, give them hormone therapy. And if you question it, you're a homophobe. No, it's just saying, dude, we have 18 for a reason. We have 18. Would you let your kid get at fucking 13, get his face all fucking tatted up? Would you let him do that? No, because these are permanent things to your life.
Yeah, it's mental warfare. I mean, it's there's a war, and the battleground is our minds, and they're confusing us. You know, they're blurring lines between male, female. I mean, think about that for a second. Like 15 years ago, if I were to tell somebody, oh, by the way, in 15 years. There's no longer going to be two sexes. It's all, fluid now, gender fluidity, and there is no such thing as male and female. People be like, what? That's crazy. But now we accept that as reality. I mean, it's mind control. So when you have kids who are confused about what it means to be a boy or a girl, then all of reality is then going to be different. Because that's like, to me, this is like the real life example of 1984, 2 + 2 = 5. This is, you know, when you say there's no longer two genders, then now there is no basis for objective reality anymore. It's the real life Orwell.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just ridiculous. Like, whatever gender you want to be is fine, but this trying to create legal precedents and be like, legally you got to call me Shim. It's just ridiculous. And that's where it gets to. It's like, dude, if you want to be anti-abortion, that is your total term. But when you try to pass laws to enforce the way you look at the world, that's where the problems comes. And this notion that, like, in this work environment, everybody has to give you a new, like, name and gender. It's just ridiculous. My brother changed his name to Trip Bedorian. I still call him Jason.
You should.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're still Jason. No, my name's... Nope, you're still Jason. Listen, I'll respect you and be cool. Hey, dude, you know, you blah, blah, blah. But it's like to pass a law It's just ridiculous. And what happened is, like, these people empower these weak people to make them think that they're in the right. And what really they are agents of chaos. At the end of the day, you do you. That's what you do. And we have kids going to gay pride parades. It blows me away. I'm doing jokes about it now. Nobody wants your kid at the gay pride parade. The guy with 30 fucking rainbow dildos coming out of him, looking like a gay porcupine, doesn't want your kid at the gay pride parade. But yet we mock people who go to the strip bar and leave their kid in the fucking car, like, oh, you're the worst parent ever. But you can bring your kid to the gay pride parade and watch a twink walking around with a fucking jockstrap on with his butthole blinking. I mean, is this real shit?
Unfortunately, it is, yeah. That's where we're at, and that's why I wrote that poem about it, because it was the most Orwellian dystopian thing I'd ever been to. Because the question I was asking myself is, what are we celebrating here? And again, no comment on people's sexuality. I don't care. I'm so okay with gay. I don't care. So when I was there experiencing it and experiencing people just falling over drunk on MDMA, naked, dicks hanging out, former dicks hanging out, you know, showing off, you know, breast surgery or breast removal scars. And then everyone was also like geared into this cage. There was this section in near the Civic Center where they had the big celebration, and it was blocked off by chain link fence. So it was really like a paddock, and they were all just inside of it getting drunk. And I thought, what are we celebrating here? What is this an achievement of? Like, what did you earn other than this cage that you're choosing to be in and being absolutely hedonistic and fucked up in? I mean, it was a really bizarre experience.
Well, they're celebrating that they can get married and stuff now.
Well, no, they're just celebrating that they had to have that back in the day because they were pushed so far down. But now, of course, like everything, the bean counters come in and they hijack it and they try to make it mainstream. And it's like, no, this is what gay guys did back in the day. They had their pocket where they were push, like, if you were in the middle of somewhere and you were gay, you were ostracized. You went to this one area and you did your shit. And now people are like, let's bring our kids there. Nobody wants your kid at the Super Bowl party. Why would we want you at the gay pride parade? Like, stop thinking everything's for you. It's these guys' things. This is their thing. If they want to walk around naked and do naked shit, like, dude, if I'm at Mardi Gras and some chick is pulling her tits out, that's a tradition that, yeah. You know, and then somebody's kids, they were like, oh, dude, we're sorry. No, dude, get your fucking kid out of here. This is me celebrating that I work a 9-to-5 and I work my ass off, pay taxes, and I just saw some good old American titties, and we move on with ourselves.
Yep. And she shouldn't have to worry about pulling them out.
Yeah, should be her. Welcome to everything. Speaking of hedonism, Burning Man.
There
you
we
have
go.
Some interesting yeah. thoughts on Burning Man.
Yeah, well, I've been to Burning Man 7 times.
You're doing
I
a lot
definitely
of research.
Was a burner
a
for a while.
A lot of research.
Sorry, what'd you say?
You're doing a lot of research.
Yeah, well, I thought, I mean, on my quest for truth and whatnot, when I was in my mid-20s, I was into the New Age stuff, and it led me to Burning Man and, you know, that crowd. And, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about Burning Man now. And I think I don't want to completely throw Burning Man under the bus, because I did have some really amazing experiences there, and I made some really great friends there. But I do think that there's a darkness about it, and I think that there's an element to it. A ritualistic aspect that has dark undertones that people are either ignorant of or unwilling to acknowledge. And I don't want to participate in that anymore.
Well, if you, without getting into your own personal view of what you've discovered over the 7 years, but if you were going to, you went your first time, if you were going to tell somebody what Burning Man was at that moment, what would you say at that time after your first time?
After my first burn, I absolutely loved it. I mean, it was
a
pivotal experience. It was, it was also at a point in my life where I was looking for something to make me feel good, because it was after my first year in Los Angeles, after being there for a year, and I was kind of lost. I didn't know what I was doing, and I was, you know, kind of broke, and I wanted something to feel good, and I went to Burning Man and had a really awesome experience. I did acid and Mali and just had some really some really connected experiences with people and experienced just how awesome the artwork was and the partying, and I loved it. And then it took a couple years before I started to, and you know, because I am a conspiracy theorist, admittedly. Nice. It took me a few years to sort of question, like, well, what are we doing here? What is going on? And what is the value of this? And what is this, you know, what are we cultivating here? Or what are we not cultivating here? And I became a little more, I don't know, critical and skeptical of the situation, because there was always something weird about it. And there's definitely weird elements. So after my first year, I would have told everybody to go. But after my seventh year, I'm like, I don't know if I'd say go until the fifth day and leave before the man burns, because that's when it gets really weird.
Why does it get weird around man burn?
Because you're standing. Okay, so Burning Man, if you look at that aerial view, it's inside of a giant pentagram, first of all. The map of Burning Man is inside of a giant pentagram, and at the very center is the man, and it's a giant effigy of a man. And then you burn this giant effigy to the ground, and everybody celebrates. Well, nothing is arbitrary in a ritual or in a ceremony. Everything has a purpose, but nobody knows why they're burning down an effigy of a man. But I would hypothesize that somebody does. There's a reason why we're doing that, but nobody knows what that is.
We're looking at the pictures of Burning Man. It looks like a half a circle.
That's the city part. But if you look at there's like a fence that surrounds the whole thing. Yeah. It's a pentagram.
Oh my God. And it's just everywhere. And you know, I remember when I was super young and all these crazy, like, you know, all these super zealous Christians were like, there's so much rock. There's so much devil in rock. You're like, come on, shut up. Let us rock. And then now you look what's happening in hip hop and just so much culture now. It's just everywhere. Yep. It's just,
there you go.
Pentagon.
Everywhere, dude. Everywhere, dude. And it's just unbelievable. So you have theories. You have some theories on what exactly is going on. Hold on, sorry. What exactly is going on at Burning Man? You think there might be something deeper going on, that it's possible that there could be some CIA involvement in that. And here we are again, CIA's fingerprints all over something that's gotten so big pop culture-wise.
Yeah, I don't really have theories as to exactly what or why they're doing it, but I think there is, I do theorize that there is some nefarious forces sort of guiding the experience and also producing it. I mean, one thing that's obvious is that it's not producing anything really of value for the world. People aren't coming away from Burning Man with any sort of like monumental, togetherness that's there to make some ripple of change in the world. It's more of a pressure release valve. They're going out there and partying it up and getting it all out of their system and having all kinds of experiences. And they're going, okay. And they're going back to their 9-to-5 jobs. And it's like, they're letting it all out for that week, which is fine to an extent. But when you're getting that many people together, there could be value that comes out of that. But instead, it's just a drug-induced, you know, sort of euphoria for a week. And I've also noticed that my Burning Man community are the most statist and self-righteous liberals that I know. They're the ones who they come back. They're like the biggest Bernie supporters and of that mindset. And I think that's also interesting to go to this place where there's no rules and there's no money being exchanged. And then they come back and they're like, you better vote Democrat. I think that's an interesting thing to observe. But like I said, the ritual aspect, I mean, throughout my own journey, I discovered ayahuasca, and I've done ayahuasca several times, and I've spent time on retreats and with shamans, and I've observed other sort of ceremonies and rituals, and like I said, nothing is arbitrary in a ritual. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a meaning and an intention behind it. And if you go to Burning Man, if you go to the man burn at Burning Man and you ask 10 people, why are we standing here watching this effigy burn? Why are we burning this man down? You'll get 10 different answers. Nobody knows what they're doing there. And I think that's interesting. Somebody does. It's not random. There's a reason for it.
Could it be like to burn the man down, the anarchy in a weird way, maybe?
if that were the case, they wouldn't be coming away from it voting Democrat. I'm not here to endorse voting Republican. Obviously, I'm more anti-government, but that's an interesting thing. So yeah, that's what I originally thought when I went there. I went there, and that's the intention I projected onto it. I was like, yeah, we're burning down the man, you know, but no one says that. That's just me interpreting. But there's no one there to give you the actual reason. And a guy, you know, it's worth noting that 2 years ago, a guy really did die during the man burn. Yeah, he ran straight into the fire,
straight into
from
it.
The crowd.
There's a video on YouTube.
You remember this?
You can watch. Yeah, there's a video. He straight runs into it. He was like, supposedly he was on drugs, and he just ran in there and let himself burn. You can see the cops trying to help him out, but dude, it's fucking.
How about that guy that set himself on fire? Just started walking around like Washington D.C.
Oh, the one in Washington D.C.
That's such a weird video.
He walks like a stuntman. That's the thing that creeped me out
it's
about
really
that video.
Weird.
But they also have a temple at Burning Man where they make this huge temple. It's just, all the art there is fucking huge. It's not even. It's like building sizes. Yeah. And I guess you go in there and you put like whoever died in your life. You go and you write their names and you say something and then they burn the whole thing down. And everyone starts crying. It's kind of, like he says, there's supposed to be a ritual. It sounds pretty cool. It sounds like to relief, like to just let it go.
Could it just be like people just want to do drugs and stare at naked chicks? Is that possible?
Some of them, most
people. Of course
people,
it is.
Yeah.
Of course it's possible. I'm not jumping into any conclusions. I'm just suspicious as a conspiracy guy. And you're right. The temple aspect of Burning Man is actually rather profound. So I have a lot of positive things to say about Burning Man as well. I mean, I went seven times. I went seven times for a reason. And that temple burn, the temple in particular, has a real power to it. I mean, you go there to release something or to honor something or to let something go. And it's very cathartic. And when everyone, that's the day. So they burn that down the day after the man burns. And it's a really tranquil experience and it's calming. Everybody sits down. Yeah. It's pretty quiet and it's emotional. So I don't really have any criticism of the temple burn. There might be some other another conspiracy theorist out there who might tell me or explain why that has a weirdness about it. But I actually do appreciate the temple burn. In fact, I think that's more the climax of Burning Man than the actual man burn. The man burn just has a weird undertone to it. I don't like participating in it. It feels like an energy harvest of some sort. And why they're doing it is a big question mark.
Now, you say the Washington Post reported strange bugs swarming the festival. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think I was there that year. Do you know, did it say when that, or what year that article was published?
He'll look it up, but you know, we just had that thing where the government is demanding if the Pentagon say if they've weaponized ticks, you know, and
Lyme disease,
and like, there's a big part of like Lyme disease, like, you know, usually people who have Alzheimer's have Lyme disease. There's like this weird kind of connection between that. And, you know, I was just out in Montauk shooting some conspiracy stuff and they're like, we got ticks all over the place, dude. I just hooded up like the kid from A Christmas Tale. I had like 8 layers of snowmobile suits on and like I didn't want to get ticks. But I mean, that's where we're at, man. Like, is the government weaponizing ticks and diseases and all that stuff? And are they using Burning Man to test that shit? I mean, we saw what
I think it's possible.
The Native Americans protesting that the government was basically sending different police forces down to basically, you know, train on how to deal with rioters, man. It's just like that stuff happens.
Yeah. When it comes to that stuff, that's when conspiracy gets kind of scary to me. Not that it's not all kind of scary, but like that and like the idea that was going around big time during the fires last year. Of directed energy weapons.
Oh, hell yeah.
That kind of stuff freaks me out because it's like, well, if they have that kind of power, man, how do we beat that? So when it comes to like weaponized ticks and mosquitoes, and that's pretty terrifying to me. I saw a presentation. It's one of the best things about being a performer at all these different conferences and events is I get a front row seat to pretty epic presentations. And one of the ones that was one of the best ones I saw was last year at a conference called Alternative View in England. And there was a woman there who gave a presentation on exactly this topic, on weaponized bugs, essentially. And she drew a correlation between I don't want to paraphrase this too much, but it was like where the Pentagon has bases set up in different countries around the world and where there were these mysterious outbreaks all near these bases, these different what are they, like Ebola or some of disease outbreaks like that. They all happened near these bases that are set up by the government.
I mean, there's theories that's scary. Cancer, AIDS was a government-made thing. Somebody actually, they convinced us somebody fucked a monkey. Like, hey, dude, this guy fucked a monkey. It's like, okay, we get you're weird, but, you know, and then you find out places like Bayer was putting out active live HIV, you know, viruses in their medication. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, the CIA, CIA gave the Grateful Dead acid. Do you think that these raves and these Burning Man are a place that the government's giving out people the right to do drugs or try new drugs out or shit like that?
Yes.
Because they don't. I've been to a million raves. I've been to music festivals, and honestly, they never stop anybody with the drugs. Allegedly, my friend's walking with them. No one ever gets popped. Everyone's on drugs, and it's like if you guys really try to stop it, I don't think it'd be too hard. You think totally. It's kind of like some MK Ultra?
Well, something I noticed at Burning Man was, like, Burning Man is like acid town. I mean, everybody's on acid at Burning Man. There's so much acid, and acid is not an easy thing to create. I mean, it's a pretty particular and complex process, right? It's chemistry. And yet there is an endless supply of acid at Burning Man. I think that's interesting. That's not to say that someone couldn't provide that much without the government being involved, but it's worth noting that how much there is. I mean, people will come to Burning Man with like 3,000 hits of acid, and there's 70,000 people there. There's so much acid and so much MDMA. Again, MDMA, also a pretty complicated process to make, I think, anyway. And something I noticed about acid in particular, again, my conspiratorial brain always going, what's going on here? I noticed that the people who were doing acid, and I've done acid too, so I'm not, you know, I've done it and I've actually had a good time on acid a few times. But one of the big takeaways I noticed as a theme amongst people who did a lot of acid is they were having these big epiphanies saying things like, I get it now. It all means nothing. Everything is meaningless, and I'm nobody. And I thought, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like this is all pretty significant, and I am somebody. I think this has meaning. Life has meaning. So they're having this calming realization about life that it's all meaningless, and I think that's potentially a pretty dangerous idea to really settle into. I think that life has meaning, and we are here for a reason. So,
I mean, like you saw, the CIA used our Grateful Dead to spread acid,
right?
And it was meant to make the population docile and not as smart. Like acid fucks your brain up, screws your brain up, man. Not like mushrooms. You know, everybody. You know, you hear people do mushroom jokes and like, and I saw a guy's face melt. It's like, and I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. And you know, that's not mushrooms. That's acid. Acid is just completely different than mushrooms, man. And we've seen that this is something that's been weaponized. Drugs has been weaponized by the CIA. We've done episodes on it. It's, you know, drugs is a weapon against us. And it's just like, you know, crack, flooding the area of crack. Now they're flooding it with heroin. Like, why is that? Because, you know, there's no jobs. There's no nothing. People want something to take their minds off of this like bleak situation they're in. And then it just becomes this, you know, snake eating its tail. You do drugs because it's bleak, and it's bleak because you do drugs. And it just keeps going, but you never focusing on bettering yourself, becoming one with the universe, realizing that, you know, this most likely is assimilation and you can control your destiny. And it happens all the time. Real quick, we jumped over something. What is Plum Island?
Yeah, I don't know. You mentioned that in the notes, and I had not looked it up until
this
afternoon.
This was Corey.
That was the, that was the Lyme disease, right? That was the tick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in that was in 2015.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Burning Man is infested with horrible bugs. The whole place was infested. It was bad.
And fire festival has to be like, at least we didn't have bugs. We had shitty sandwiches.
Look at those bugs.
Oh my God.
What up? Look at that.
So what year was that?
2015.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the last. Yeah, I was at that Burning Man. Oh. I was at that one with the bugs.
Bugs scared the shit out of me, dude. They scared the shit out of me.
And you don't see anything. You don't see anything alive at Burning Man other than people. I mean, it's the playa doesn't have life. There's nothing there, which is also interesting. I think about Burning Man. We choose a place where there's nothing alive other than people. It's an interesting place to have a festival.
Well, it's really great to do in the middle of nowhere, get people fucked up on drugs, and if crazy shit happens, nobody remembers it, and there's very little witnesses to it, you know? Everybody's just super jacked. Now, is this your note? John Law, the co-founder, is he possible CIA? Have you ever heard anything about that?
Well, I just looked into him, too. I think it's possible. I mean, I don't know much about it. I know that the Burning Man origin story seems a little suspicious in general, that it was a pagan ritual, a summer solstice ritual on the beach in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And we just talked about what San Francisco and you know, some of the sort of like secret society undertones of that place in general. And I don't know. It just seems like the story's a little too PG as far as an origin story goes. So, sure. And he also, I looked up on Wikipedia, he's in the Suicide Club, and they say it has nothing to do with suicide, but that's an interesting name nonetheless. I don't know. Yeah, I'm suspicious.
I always like to find out who these people's parents are. Like, who are their parents? How do they end up in these positions? Did they, you know, it's like Facebook. Everyone, like, we were told a story that Mark Zuckerberg stole this idea. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stole the idea. But then we find out that, you know, LifeLog was a Pentagon program that was going to try to keep all your data for your whole life. And that thing ended February 4th, 2004, the day Facebook was invented. So, and now you look at the two twins who supposedly had the idea stolen from them. They just fought so hard, and wow, magically, they've just got $1 billion in Bitcoin. Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy, right? Now, that just seemed to work out where everybody involved got taken care of. It's kind of like 9/11, where you had Seth MacFarlane and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, right? Mark Wahlberg were supposed to be on those flights and just happened not to get on the flight. And then what happens? Seth MacFarlane has the first show in the history of time to be canceled. And then the fans just demanded that it be brought back. And now he's got eight different TV shows. He's got all these movies he's doing. Mark Wahlberg's in 90 movies, got all these TV shows. And it's just like, wow, that's so super convenient. And then you go to NWA and how like that band pushed all this crime rhyme shit, and look at man, unbelievable. Ice Cube and Dr. Dre are on the precipice of either they are billionaires or about to be billionaires. Unbelievable. It just all works out so well,
right? Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, to walk around with blinders on and to say there is no conspiracy theories, that's just crazy. That's crazy. I obviously don't know everything, but there's certainly suspicious aspects to almost every aspect of reality as it's been constructed. And to be naive and say, no, everything is as it's told to us, that's crazy. Because come on, there's way too much weirdness going on.
There's way too much.
Well, how about Elon Musk going to Burning Man and all those billionaires now?
All the people who I think it's mandatory for Google employees to go to Burning Man.
That's shady shit.
Elon Musk was there. What the fuck is he doing there? He likes
drugs, dude.
Oh yeah,
he likes drugs.
Elon Musk, who just said the other day that we need to integrate the human mind with AI.
Sometimes I'm super happy. I'm like deep into my 40s. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to get a lot of this stuff.
And what I was telling you the other day, how are you telling us that we should be scared of the future and AI's coming? Elon Musk keeps saying that, but yet he keeps fucking making everything. He keeps producing shit that's going to make it.
Oh, yeah, these cars are going to take away half the jobs. Then why are you making them?
Exactly.
Stop.
Did you see that SpaceX shot a bunch of people's ashes up into space?
Oh, probably right next to that car that they supposedly did no treatment for, that they just put in space, that's just driving around like fucking Waze, trying to just use up as much gas as possible because it works with big oil. That's my honest opinion.
Yeah, I remember when they remember so you guys are in LA. Remember when they did the test thing, and it looked like a big sperm going up over LA, and he didn't tell anybody till the next day. He's like, oh, by the way, that was a SpaceX test launch. Well, everyone in Los Angeles thought that was like, you know, contact, and people were getting out of their cars and looking at it. And I mean, it was obviously a spectacle. It was obvious that they were doing it so that everyone would wonder what was going on.
Or
it was
see how
SpaceX
people would react to that. Yeah. If they would have a freak out. I mean, and then all these pictures came out of like that exact image in the sky, whatever that was, from like the 1400s, they found a painting that from the 1700s, the 1800s, sometime the 1900s, where this thing has constantly been seen in the sky. So on your YouTube videos, I noticed you like you mix it up. Sometimes you do some high end sketches, and then sometimes you'll just do some live streams and stuff like that. Are you getting any flack from it? I mean, are you seeing any kind? You have that one really great video about words you can't say, and it was really well done. Why do you think we're getting censorship of words right now?
Censorship of words? I think that just to create more and more unrest and division, and I mean, the censorship in general on YouTube is pretty alarming, but I see that as, I feel like there's a negative way to look at it and a positive way to look at it. And the negative is of course that they're shutting down free speech, and people who have voices, who are doing excellent independent journalism, are being shut down and demonetized and shadow banned and all that. But the positive spin to me is that whatever the elite, their backs are against the wall because they're being exposed so handily that they have to resort to desperate measures like censorship. And as far as the words go, I don't mean, that goes right back to, you know, all the gay stuff from before. Like they want, there's like this movement to shut down and demonize anybody who has, it's like the stir of the pot. They're just creating this state of unrest. And so everyone's sensitive and monitoring each other. And it's the thought crimes. And so we're always monitoring to see who's respecting me, who's disrespecting me, who's using language that I don't like, and creating this padded safe zone reality, which is just ridiculous. So that's why we made the video.
It's very interesting because when it comes to political correctness, there is no hard rule. There's none. There are rules with so much fine print, it's almost like, why do we follow these rules? I find political correctness is the emperor's new clothes, where it's like, it only exists if you believe in it. So one time, I don't go on Facebook hardly ever, mostly just to promote shit. But one time I just kind of said, you know what? I don't think anyone should say the N-word, including black people. And I left it. And I came back 4 days later, and you would think the internet had melted. And the biggest pushback was from black people, and it's always the same. You can't tell us what to do. I'm not. It was a suggestion. why do you want to say it so bad? I literally just said no one should say it. And you're just mad we got something that you can do and I can't do. I have a joke. I say nigger in it. I say the word in it. It's about me being called the N-word. It's by Paul Mooney. I say the word. If I want to say something, I say the word. I choose not to say the word. And out of respect for the history of the word, I would never call anybody of African American that word. But I've been called it. I have women in bed call me it. I don't know what that's about. That's just the weird shit that I'm into. And that's true story. So this notion that there's like this fine print to it. And what happens is when you make a rule that someone could say this, 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 and this, someone you love will break that rule. And then you have to ask yourself, is that rule important to you, or are you a fucking hypocrite? And we see that stuff. Now, what I don't do is defend people I know who say shit just to get a reaction. Like, if you go out there and you say something that you know you shouldn't say just to get, like, what we were talking about last episodes, clicks and all that shit, and to get, like, whoa, people are talking about it, I don't defend you. And especially when you do something and it gets so big, like Kathy Griffin holding up Trump's head. That was done to get a reaction.
Yep.
And I have nothing against Kathy Griffin, but you did that to get a reaction, and you got more of a reaction than you wanted. And I'm not going to run to you and save you because you got too much of a reaction. The ultimate thing should be like, you should hear the joke, and then you should decide whether it's hate speech or not. And then what you do is you laugh or you don't laugh. And then you don't go see that comic again if you don't like him. You can't control the narrative. We must always push back on people who tell us how to control the narrative. Now, again, I'm not going to sit there and go to war for people who are purposely trying to say shit to fucking, you know, bring up old shit or try to hurt everybody's feelings. Or, you know, I don't do that. I try to bring up points, make points. And sometimes those points are uncomfortable. And guess what? That's fucking life. Life is uncomfortable.
Right. And who gets to define what hate speech is? That's where it gets scary. It's
white
an ambiguous
women.
Term. There's no, it's in the interpretation of the person who gets to define it. So when you have this ambiguous umbrella term like hate speech, well, we don't know what the parameters of that are. So anybody can just shut you down for hate speech, even though you didn't say anything hateful. It gives more control.
And it's not even hate. It's just like they can't. Like, I did a video one time talking about how much I love black people. And I just went around hugging black people. It was the video. I just hugged black people. And this one person, this black woman goes, "That's racist." I go, "How's it racist?" Because it's racist. I go, No. No. You just don't like it for whatever reason. And now you're trying to act like it's offensive. You just don't like it. Racism is, I think I'm better than that race. That's what racism is. But it's been just this fucking weird ass fucking just the slippery slope that happens, that if anybody doesn't like anything, it's the end of the world and we all got to run around. It's like I do a joke on my last special before the show. We pray to comedy gods that we make white women over 40 laugh, because that's the number one demographic for wanting to talk to the management. And that's always the same thing. White women come to the club and dictate what's funny. And the one thing that gets women scared more than being offended is being called a racist. So they let a black comic say all the things that upset them, but they're like, oh, he's so brave. And then if a white guy went up and said the same thing, oh my God, end it up, you know, burn the place down. And listen, dude, listen, I'm not saying it's hard to be a white guy doing comic. I'm killing it right now, okay? I'm not worried about that at all. But this, like, these weird rules that are set up, and this one rule I hate, which is if you're of a group, you can make fun of a group. Like when Stephen Colbert, who now I'm not a big fan of at all, got in trouble for the Asian joke, and then this 22-year-old Asian girl tried to make it into something. I'm like, you're an Asian girl. The only one oppressing you are your parents, okay? That's all that oppresses Asian chicks, okay? It's like, you're from, and this happened like 4 years ago. You were born in like 92. Or no, excuse me. Yeah, you were born in like 92. What are we talking about here? You were born like 96, 97. Tell me about the racism of 1996 that you had to go through. You just don't like it yet. And I got a ton of Asian comic friends. Nobody beats down Asians more than Asian comics. And to sit there and go, it's okay because they're Asian, it's just weak-minded bullshit.
Yeah, well, it's more division. I mean, that's really what it is. It's more, so we're always blaming each other. It's a tactic of the media and the government to keep us all divided, because people aren't born racist. We're not born with some inherent hatred of other people who don't look like us. It's divisionary tactics. They're always blaming our neighbor and blaming that guy across the street or white people or men or whatever it is, so that there's always unrest. So we're always looking laterally at each other rather than the people who are at the top governing the world.
And it's like mothers and fathers pass on these prejudices from fucking every year. Every year you pass on, like, it's like my friend Tony that I grew up next to. He goes, hey, man, because I'm half Italian, half Armenian. And he's like, hey, man, if someone calls you a WAP, you fight him. And I go, no. Why? He goes, I don't know, but that's just what we do. And I go, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. I go, that's just passing down the sickness, you know? It's like, I love Gary Goldman. He's one of the funniest comics working today. He does these great rules about, like, just some advice for stand-up. But one of them was, like, don't make fun of Jews. And I go, why? Like, everybody gets made fun of. Why is one group, which he happens to be a part of, and I love Jews, but why? Why can't you make... What's happening here? Oh, because this thing happened before? Yeah, super tragic, 100%. But guess what? Every single group has that.
Yep, everyone.
Guess what? I'm Armenian. Israel doesn't recognize the Armenian genocide. We all have that. To sit there and say your group shouldn't be made fun of is just, I just think it does a lot of damage. And listen, Gary Goldman's one of the best writers. He's a wordsmith. Like, I love what he does. I just had a problem with that one tweet. And it's just, it doesn't make fun of everybody, especially that Jews are the best comics out there. And they light up everybody. And to sit there and act like there's like Mark Norman had a great tweet that he got in trouble for. It's like, you know, when you realize that the camera adds 10 pounds, the Holocaust pictures are even worse. And you're like, wow, that's a great fucking tweet.
That's a good joke.
Jews were going up there. Oh, you can't do that. Why? Why? Why?
Yep.
It's stupid.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, go back to what you said when you posted that thing on Facebook about how no one should use the N-word anymore. I think that if we all decided to use it incessantly all day for like 3 days in a row, everybody just used it nonstop, it would lose all of its meaning and all of its power forever. And then it would no longer be
for
a problem.
For sure, dude. For sure.
It wouldn't be a trigger. We would let it go if we were all just seeing it as a word and seeing how silly it is to be so afraid of words.
No, for sure, dude.
It's the intention behind a word. You know, if someone was in my face, like, threatening me, and they were like, I love you, I would still be threatened because they were threatening. It's the intention you give the word. It's the energy that's infusing the word or the words that give it power, not the word itself. The word is just a word.
No, I'm with you on that one. I mean, like, I just think it causes so much chaos. It's like, get rid of it. I mean, I'm fine with it. But, you know, we're taking the word back. You're not taking the word back. You're not. You're not at all.
They're taking more away, retard.
You're giving it power acting like one group should say it, one should. I don't care about it, dude, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get a bunch of shit. I really don't care. It's just a stupid rule that has been made to get us to fight with each other.
Exactly. Well, going back to, you know, the video that we made, censored, words you can't say, in 2019. So Kevin, the other guy in the video, it was his idea to do that. And it was originally going to be something else. We were just going to, like, list off the words that you can't say. And he had the idea, and I thought, yeah, that's interesting, but there's not going to be enough words or phrases to use to fill up a video. So I started doing research on it, and I started looking up words you can't say, offensive terms, microaggressions, and things like that. And as I was copying and pasting into a Google Doc, I got like 5 pages in, where I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is a never-ending list now. And I was going to, like, college websites, you know, for freshman orientation and all the things you can't say. And I was just adding to this list over and over. So I was like, wow, not only do we have enough material for this video, but we have more than enough. There is so much that is considered offensive. Now, even the term politically correct is considered offensive by some people.
Dude, you know what's a weird word? Dude, they've tried to make cuck an offensive word. Like, guys who like to watch their girls get banged by other dudes are like, that's offensive to me, dude.
Who's getting offended by that?
If I forgot what it was. Somebody yelled, hey, dude, you're a fucking cunk. And somebody goes, oh, my God, it's 2019 and you're still using that word?
The guy that's watching his wife get bang doesn't get offended, I don't think anyone should.
No, I'm saying it's starting to become
No, I know,
that.
But it's so stupid. Like, the only person getting offended should be the...
It's what it is, dude. It's beta males trying to fucking stop words that get to them.
I don't want to be told. Yeah, you want to be, you know, you don't want to be called that. It's so like let me get rid of it.
When they don't like a joke, they call it hack. You're like, name me three other comics to do that joke. That's what hacky is.
Yeah.
Every comic does this fucking joke. I want to get into censorship, YouTube censorship. Have you faced any shadow banning?
Shadow banning, most likely. That's the tricky thing about shadow banning is how do you really know other than not getting as many views and subscribers as you once did. What I know from firsthand experience is that because I, again, go to a lot of these conferences and events, and they're not just anarchy either. I go to like all kinds of, you know, alternative or freedom-based or truth, whatever, events and whatnot. So I'm friends with a lot of the people who are being demonetized and having their PayPal accounts shut down and having their Facebook pages erased and stuff like that. These are the best people. Like, these are really good people who believe in a better world, so they're devoting their lives to changing it, and they're the ones being demonized as being, you know, hateful and dangerous. So I have experienced it firsthand. I had a video on our channel called Stand Up to Cancer Causes, which was one of our more, I think, inoffensive videos, in that I spoofed on, well, an ad that came out a couple of years ago, but it was basically, I had a bunch of people lined up saying, listing off things that are known to cause cancer, yep, and contribute to cancer. And they removed the video because it said we had inappropriate content in it. There's not a single cuss word. There's nothing. They're just people telling you, we basically say in the video, don't stand up to cancer by giving away your money. Sit down and do your own research. That's what we say in the video. And we tell you all these different things that are known to cause cancer, like GMO food and et cetera, et cetera. And they shut the video down. Yep. Inappropriate content. YouTube and Facebook on the same day shut down that video for inappropriate content.
Because
interesting.
Big Pharmaceuticals owns a huge part of each of those companies. And they don't want those out. They don't want videos like that out where you're like, hey, dude, you can march all you want for a cure for cancer. They have a cure. You're just feeding yep. into an industry where they just keep just, dude, what was it like? The NFL's like pink cancer, women's breast cancer thing, like 5% of that money went to the actual charity. It's ridiculous. Wow. And you look at the people, the CEOs of all these companies that are charity based and how they're making hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to run those things. And it's just like, no, that's not good. We should all pull yeah. our money to fucking fund a security team to protect the doctors who have cured cancer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's a guy I met in Europe named David Noakes who's may go to jail for life because he's cured people of cancer with something called GC Maths. You guys have heard of that. It's really tragic. I mean, you know that it's illegal to say you've cured cancer? It's illegal. That's yeah, interesting.
It's ridiculous.
So if you say, it's ridiculous.
So they got rid of homeopathic cures and flat earth. What's your thoughts on flat earth?
My thoughts are I really love the theory. I hesitate to commit one way or the other,
yes,
to be honest, because
he's not married.
What?
Said you're not married to the ball. That means that you're in between.
Yeah.
Well, I am because I reject NASA. I reject NASA's everything, but I haven't been to space. I haven't seen it for myself, so I could go in any direction. Literally, I could go. I think it might even be not flat or round. I think it might be something else. Well,
now they say it's like an oval.
Yeah,
what?
It's what
now it's like a football shape. Now they changed it up. I don't know if you've heard them, but it's like
pear shaped.
Yeah, it's not a full circle now.
It's so interesting that if a religion changes. Everyone's like, oh, see, it's fake. But if science changes, like, oh, well, they're just, you know, they learn more. It's just like, what are we talking about? Yeah. You've literally put out CGI pictures of a round ball. Now you're telling me those aren't real, and now it's the shape of a Nerf?
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. I think that, so I love the flat Earth theory. And I also love what Flat Earth represents in that it's challenging the mainstream, you know, official narrative and all of it. I think it's a romantic idea to put man back at the center of the universe and the Earth back at the center of the universe. And, you know, I like a lot about the theory. I can't commit to it as a belief because I have a hard time committing to any belief, to be honest.
What I find very interesting is that everyone tells you, oh, it's just a psyop. What you don't understand by psyops are put out by the government or giant corporations to get you to not pay attention to what's going on. The Flat Earth does not fit into that. Flat Earth actually wreaks havoc on everything that they hold pure, which is science, NASA, the government. Yeah. You know, it doesn't work. I'm not saying we're on a flat. I don't know where we are. I'm a simulation guy myself.
I'm with you.
So yeah. I don't even know. What if you think the ramifications would be if it did come out that we lived on a flat Earth?
Well, I think people would feel a sense of empowerment again, because I think that what I like about the flat Earth theory is that it makes life meaningful again. Whereas science teaches us everything is random. We're just a speck of dust and a slightly bigger speck of dust hurtling through the universe for no reason that came from a big bang that no one really understands, but it's all random and it's all chaos. And I think that is demoralizing. Whereas Flat Earth would say, no, actually, the stars, the sun, the moon, all of it is here to nurture this life on this Earth. And you have meaning. You are here because you are special, and this is all here for you. And you know, it brings God back into the equation, and it makes life much more meaningful and much more beautiful and romantic. So I think that if we were to find out, if it were to be revealed once and for all that the Earth was in fact flat and that everything that NASA has taught us was a lie, I think people would gain more self-confidence and more meaning in their life.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very, very. What's your thoughts on Neil deGrasse Tyson?
I think he's a hack. I think he's one of the most dangerous people in the world.
Explain.
Well, he's no different to me than a fire and brimstone preacher, but for science. And I think what he represents and what that, you know, what they've done with science is make science as dogmatic as any religion. So it's the Church of Science. You know, it's scientism. It's saying science is it. End of story. We've settled the debate. There's no more room for questioning this. It's science, period. And I think that's a really dangerous precedent to set. And he's one of the, you know, he's at the forefront of it. He's one of the leaders of it. And I think that's really dangerous because we hardly know anything about reality, let alone putting a period at the end of the sentence and saying, now we figured it all out. Move along. You know, if it's material, if you can see it, it's real. And if it's spiritual, then it's bogus, you know, woo-woo. And I just think that's so demoralizing and wicked.
Dude, what are your thoughts? You know, a lot of people have called me a gay Jew shill. Everybody, I feel like in the conspiracy world, if you aren't called a shill, you haven't done anything yet. You got to really, like, until some dude who gets like 3 views on his video starts making videos about how you're fucking shill. That's the real shit. What's your thoughts on shills?
Good question, man, because I talk about this a lot. Again, because I'm very active in the world of conspiracy and of truth-seeking. On a side note, I think it's really interesting that the term truth-seeker is synonymous with conspiracy theory. I think that's really interesting because I think that seeking truth is important. So now that they've made it so that if you're a truth seeker, you're a conspiracy theorist, very telling. But I think that the shills primarily are the commenters. They're the ones who are there trolling people's channels and trolling things. They're the shills because they're the ones who are planting the seeds of distrust, planting the seeds of paranoia, getting you not to think that people who are fighting for truth and for change are authentic. And I have a master's degree in acting. I've spent a lot of time around actors. I can tell when people are bullshitting, and I have yet to meet anybody in person who I'm like, you're a shill, obviously. I think most people are real, and the ones who are commenting, who are there you know, just trolling people's channels, planting the idea that their shills are the shills.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we've seen that Google, Facebook, they all, YouTube, they have AI comments. And mm-hmm. they just come in and try to muck it up and cause fights and dissension and make people think your video sucks. And what I do is I block people. You know, this whole thing that I have to sit here and take your comments because that's the game, it's bullshit. Frank Sinatra never had to do that. You shit talk Frank Sinatra, the mob came and broke your arm, okay? Mm-hmm. I have no problems with blocking people. I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing. I'm going to block you. And, dude, if later on you go, please unblock me, and you don't tell me exactly what you did, I'm not going to unblock you. It's just AI trying to start fights with each other. Do you think Trump is a white hat or a black hat?
What's a white hat and a black hat?
Good or
bad? A good guy or a bad guy?
Oh, I don't know, man. I can't tell. I think he's an enigma. I think I started off writing him off completely, and then after a year or so, and when I watched the media glitch over his presidency, I was like, maybe there's more to this. But and I kind of got into the QAnon stuff for a minute just to see what was going on, but nothing's really happened. So
I don't know. This Epstein thing is huge. They were telling us about for a long time,
for sure. And there's a lot of Russian gay. There seems to be a lot of pedophile rings going down and whatnot. So I don't know. I'm on the fence. Let's put it that way. I'm on the fence.
I got one from. What about aliens? Yeah. What do you think about them pushing aliens? Area 51, Bob Lazar.
I think Area 51 is a huge distraction to get people to stop thinking about Epstein and the pedophilia and what's actually going down. I think it was a huge.
What do you think that whole thing?
What do we do? Let's go Area 51. Yeah, let's do that. I think that's what it was like. It was like a Hail Mary.
What do you think of actual, what do you think's going on with the Epstein? What do you think that case is really about? Blackmail, satanic pedophiles running everything? What do you think?
I think it is about satanic pedophiles running everything, sure. I don't know. We'll see. I think the jury's out. I think that it's great that he got arrested. But what comes of it will be really interesting. I mean, I'm just sitting back and watching. I don't trust politicians, and I don't expect there to be major changes coming from anybody who's elected president. But I'm watching with an open mind as much as I can with all of it. I'm just sitting back and observing and hoping for the best while not putting all my hopes and ambitions and whatever onto these people and onto some big thing. Remembering that I have a responsibility to make my life the best it can be. All the while, because I don't like this sit back and thing. The thing I hate about QAnon is it's always saying, just sit back with your popcorn and enjoy the show. I think you got to stay active.
You got to have
self responsibility.
You want to be in it to win it.
The change really starts with the self. It starts with you. You know, I think that is important regardless of what happens with Epstein and what happens with, or who Trump is or who he's not. It's still we all still are playing a role in manifesting the world that we want to see around us.
I couldn't agree more, man. I could not agree more. Benny Wills, you are the man, the myth. You are the legend. I appreciate you. One more time, can you tell all of our listeners where they can find you? This has been an excellent episode. Tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, well, go to JoyCamp, but also go to my new solo channel, which I just launched about 3 weeks ago. Because I'm not in LA anymore. I did Joy Camp primarily with my friends when I was there. I live in Washington now with my fiance, and I'm really stepping onto this solo journey path. So go to my new YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/BennyWills, and it's Wills, not Willis. So it's Wills. youtube.com/BennyWills. Go to BennyWills.com. Follow me on Instagram, Benny.Wills, Twitter, Facebook, all of it. I'm everywhere. But yeah, primarily I want traffic on my new YouTube channel, so there you go. Benny Wills YouTube.
We'll put the links out, brother. We'll put the links out. You're wonderful. If you're ever in LA, please come. jump on the show, be in studio. Let's talk some mad shit together. I appreciate you just letting me yell at you for an hour and a half. You're a kind soul.
It's lots of fun.
All right, man. We'll do it again, sir, soon. I appreciate everybody who worked hard on the show today. Emma, XG, you're wonderful people. I appreciate everybody who watched. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button. Please hit the subscribe button. I want to get to 100,000 subscribers. We're almost at 60, so help me out. If you're watching, live, learn, laugh, and I hope you guys are doing well. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Yeah.